How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing great, man.
You in New York?
I'm in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, right on.
Running around. I'm about to board a plane. I'm a little late already, so let's get right into it. I apologize.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for the time, and huge fan, and uber grateful for everything you do. So appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Gary, it's no secret you value hustle. Tell us about some of the other skills you believe are needed to thrive in tomorrow's marketplace.
That's a great question. Are you recording, by the way? You ready to go?
Yes, all set.
So that's a great, great question. You know what? I'm so pumped right now. I think people don't ask me that question enough, and I haven't said it publicly enough, so I'm excited for my fans that are about to hear some of these things. I think humility really matters. I think self-deprecation really matters. I think self-awareness really matters. So it's equal to hustle. I think those three things are a much bigger thing than I think people realize. I think the world is much more transparent, and in a more transparent world, humility is a big, big thing. Self-awareness to know what you can and can't do really, really, really matters. And understanding to really how to bring value at the end of the day. So that's where self-awareness comes in again, just that knowing what you can do. And humility, you know, I think it takes an enormous amount of bravado to be successful and ego and all that. But as much of as ego as I have, I think the thing that gets me into a place where somebody like you is interested in interviewing me is the humility part. It's an equal opposing force that I think really matters.
Right on. I remember when you appeared on the MTV show Hired in 2010, and you were interviewing folks for a project manager role. But tell us what it is about VaynerMedia's culture that attracts next generation talent.
I think the biggest thing is I actually am more similar to them than most people. I'm a young 37. I feel like I have a pulse of what makes them kick. I think there's a fairness. Everybody, you know, for all the dirtiness of the office and too much hustle and sometimes not enough this, that, and the other thing, we have plenty of our own warts. The knowing that if you're good, you can really win, the capitalism, I think, has a lot to do with our success. People know that if you're bringing value and you're hustling and you're good, that you can get promoted in 3 months, 6 months, 4 months, 5 months, that there's no structure. You know, I think corporate America and the work world and the U.S. in general is shockingly communistic. And I think that the capitalistic nature of, you know, kind of, you know, if you got it, you got a shot, I think really excites the right kind of players and brings a certain kind of person to our organization.
Okay, great. You speak a lot about culture shifts. Tell us a little bit about what you envision how the workplace will be evolving due to some of these culture shifts.
Well, I think just things have become more important to people, you know, in America, you know, specifically, you know, people care more about work-life balance. People care more about happiness and comfort. I mean, there's people literally making decisions based on if they have to wear a tie or can they wear jeans to work. There's nuances that are starting to drive people's wants and needs that didn't exist years ago. And I think companies have to pay attention to that. And so, you know, and by the way, and there's also counterbalance to it. I'm starting to see some offices that require people to dress up or wear suits, and that's been a good thing, and people are looking for that. All of a sudden, the hipster laziness kind of chill vibe is not for everybody. I've had people come to Vayner where we're ridiculous. I mean, you can wear Snuggie at Vayner if you want. And literally a week or two or a month in, or when I review with them 3 months in, if I sit down with them, they're like, listen, it took me a long time to get comfortable with people being so unprofessional in their attire, and I didn't like it. So, like, you know, they're just variations of these things. But I think what it most has to do with is respecting the employee, and I think that's what people are looking for.
Got it. Snuggie at VaynerMedia. Love it. Along the same lines of culture shift, what long-term culture norms do you see technology and the emerging generations ultimately disrupting?
Anything that has inefficiencies in the value that it's bringing will be snuffed out. So if the cab and limousine market is inefficient, Uber is going to show up. If the hotel market is inefficient, Airbnb is going to show up, and on and on and on. Inefficiencies are very vulnerable right now.
I agree. Okay. How do you recommend brands begin to shift in order to successfully market for the next generations, which ultimately are going to be the future consumers?
It's all the same stuff we're talking about. Legal is going to have to be a little bit more lax. The culture of their voice is going to have to change. They have to be self-deprecating. They have to be co-cooperative with their competitors, not try to kill them. All the things that emotionally hit the new consumer is going to have to matter. They're going to have to figure out how to storytell faster. Process is going to have to be more nimble. It's all these things. And so I see a lot of shifts coming.
Storytell faster, yeah, it's really interesting.
Speed kills in sports. When, you know, when all of a sudden a running back can run a little faster, you know, you all of a sudden, you know, see big, I mean, you know, I'm a big NFL fan. Tight ends have become really fast and defenses have not adjusted to it. And you're going to see an adjustment soon. What happens is it's cops and robbers. Soon linebackers are going to look more like safeties because they have to be faster.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm curious to know if at VaynerMedia, you're helping your clients consider gamification as a branding strategy.
Absolutely. But it's a psychology, right? It's gamification on everything. How do you make people do what you want that is gamified as a philosophy, not necessarily building a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to us, that's the core of our work. We are social media storytellers, meaning we create content for Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram. So how do we get people to double tap a heart, to engage with the content, to retweet, to share, to reblog, to Tumble, to pin? You know, that's gamification.
Yeah. Is there a certain point you see gamification being more mainstream?
I think it's mainstream right now for the people that are going to rule the world in the future.
Hmm. Right on. Gary, I believe you're one of the most transparent and authentic leaders out there today, us chatting today. How has this helped your personal brand and in leading VaynerMedia?
I think it's built me trust, the end. When you have trust, you have equity to really convert it into people buying your book because they trust that it's going to be good, people hiring you because they trust it's going to be good at work, and then your employees trusting you, you're heading them in the right way, even though it might seem weird or they don't agree or it's not how they were classically trained. So I think when you have, you know, when you're content, you know, it's so funny, I equally have ambition bleeding out of my eyeballs, but have an enormous amount of content in my life right now that I don't think people would understand since I talk all about hustle. But when you have that, all of a sudden it allows you to be much more transparent. It's why you find people that are 70, 80, 90 be more transparent and honest. It's not necessarily because they're on their way out. It's because they've reached some contentment at that point in their lives. And I just reached that at a very young age, a very, very young age, an extreme young age. That's allowed me to be a little bit more ballsy and ridiculous and transparent because, you know, when you're the kind of character like me where you're willing to lose everything and build back up because you know you have the talent to, you don't fear the alternative.
Yeah. Right. I know you're not a big believer in work-life balance. So how would you suggest to emerging leaders to find perhaps work-life flexibility in today's 24/7 connected culture?
So, what, you know, to clarify, I believe in work-life balance. I believe in not everybody has to have work-life balance. Some people are very happy workaholics. Some people are very happy lazyholics, right? So I don't think, like, every shoe fits everybody. You know, I think finding it for people is very different. I'm finding it in extremism. I'm working harder day in, day out than I ever have in my entire life right this minute, but I'm also trying to take more vacations than ever. I mean, I have ambition to take 20 days off in August. That is something I would make fun of on stage 5 years ago, but I realized by working until 1 o'clock in the morning every Monday through Friday, I'm scratching that itch, and it's making me less half pregnant, trying to rush home, see Nisha for a quick bath, or spend real quality time with her on the weekends and these more extreme, more often vacations. So I've found balance in extremities. I would say to somebody who's really struggling to think about that.
Okay, great. What would you say to someone who views technology and social media as detriments to business and real human interaction?
I don't agree. You know, I respect everybody's point of view, but I think we're more social and have more context for our human engagements, and the quality of our human engagements are better now because we have more context of the things we picked up on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, all these kind of platforms. So I think they're looking at it in a black and white way, and I think the answer is gray.
Okay. Can you give some specific examples of, from your perspective, which brands out there right now are doing a, you know, stand-up job grabbing the attention and connecting with Generation Y?
I can't, mainly because I can't give examples contractually of my clients, and I don't pay attention to anybody else.
Okay. Fair enough,
you know, I hate that I can't answer that question. I've been like bullshitting it. Talking about transparency, I've come to decide that that's how I have to start answering this question because I've been pulling shit out of my ass, hoping, basically affected by earned media and hearing, well, Oreo does this well or Red Bull does this well. But truth be told, I'm just not doing enough looking under the hood. On the flip side, I am about to do a lot of that for my new book, for Jab, 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 Right Hook. So I do feel like I'll be able to answer that question come October.
Okay. Right on. What up-and-coming social, you might not be able to answer this one either with your investing, but what other up-and-coming social platforms would you recommend keeping an eye out for?
So I can with this. I'll just disclose what I'm investing in. I think both Rebel Mouse and Pass are amazingly interesting. I'm an investor in both. I think Snapchat and Vine are very interesting. I'm not an investor in those things. Those four really stand out to me.
And that second one you mentioned was PATH, P-A-T-H, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Just a couple more questions. I know you got to run. But I know personal branding has kind of changed a lot since when you first did Wine Library. What were some of the things you would think that you would coach folks today and build personal brand?
Well, I think nothing's changed. It's still bringing value, scale the unscalable, and put out great content. The only difference is, you know, I wouldn't go to blogs and answer people's questions on their blog. I'd go to Facebook and Twitter more than I did at first. Then that became part of my strategy. But, you know, I didn't make animated GIFs about my wine reviews back then. I would today for Tumblr. I didn't create pin boards of white wine, red wine, regions. I would today. So the execution of the philosophy is different, but nothing's really changed other than storytelling where the consumer is. And when Google Glass comes out and people are looking through their eye, you know, their glasses, you know, you'll have to change again, but it'll be the same thing. Can you bring value? Now, instead of putting out a YouTube video, today I would put out pins for Pinterest. In the future, I might create an app that when you recognize the label, it gave you a review on your screen, right? So the thesis stays the same, but the platforms change.
Got it. Two more questions, kind of back to the first question about, you know, the skills that are needed to thrive in tomorrow's marketplace. And you had mentioned humility, self-deprecation, trust. Are those things you can cultivate? If so, how do you do that? Or is it just more of a DNA thing?
I think it has a hell of a lot more to do number two than number one. I really do. I mean, you can teach it. And again, I love sports, right? You can zap somebody and mold them. And you can do it, but some of this stuff comes naturally. And, you know, you've got to teach it, but the top, it has to be intuitive because it trickles down. And so, you know, listen, it's always nature and nurture. I do a little bit over-index on the DNA part on this debate because I've tried really hard to nurture it at times, and it's a hell of a lot easier when it's there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, listen, I do think there's a debate about business that needs to be, and entrepreneurs and businesses, that they're more similar to talent that we see in sports and things like, I can go to music lessons and voice lessons and become a better singer than I am right now, but I'll never be Adele, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could play basketball every single day for 3 hours, and I'm still not going to be LeBron, right?
Right.
So we're underestimating business talent, I think, and people skill talent too much.
All right. Last question. What advice would the Gary of today give the 25-year-old Gary?
That's a really, really good question. I'm going to give you the real answer. Stay the course. That's what he would have said. You know, truth be told, I'm not capable of auditing the past. I've learned a lot. I'm way better. I'm way stronger. But I wouldn't change any of it because the energy is coming from the same place, and I feel like you got to go through it. And I feel like if I didn't go through it because I helped the 37-year-old Gary would navigate the 25-year-old Gary through it, then I would have lost the context and not been stronger for it.
Awesome. You the man, Gary. Always bring the thunder. I appreciate you big time, dude.
My pleasure, man. I appreciate the kind words. Wish you well.
Good luck with the new book.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Cheers.